right, good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is a lovely 62 degrees and very sunny here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Brain Neuro Enhancements, Microbiome, CRISPR, and George Church. And we have been talking about bacteria, probiotics, and some of the effects that those probiotics can have on the physical body by interacting with that vagus nerve that is the direct connect from the gut to the brain. We were taking a look at some of the players and a lot of the DARPA funding that has been going into experimentation with different facets of these technologies, whether it be the Brain Initiative or combating antibiotic resistance. And we're going to find out, ooh, they just came up with a new way to kill superbugs. But we have also involved some of the most creative minds in science and technology that are helping foster this merger that we are seeing right now, being able to program life as if it were a machine. They have programming language now for cells, and they could flip switches, turn things on and off, insert things. I mean, GMO was just the beginning, people, and it's about to get a bit more interesting. So these probiotics, we ended the show yesterday looking at Georgie Porgy Church and some of the projects he is involved in. Of course, he has been involved from the very beginning with genomic sequencing. Looks like he published his first sequencing method back in 1984. So interesting that that is right about the time, at another 10 years or so, where we started seeing some of the very beginnings of those edible vaccines. Do you remember that with Dr. Charles Artston? We had edible bananas for the third world. That was the promise. You wouldn't need to refrigerate them, because that's how a lot of vaccines expire when they send them to Africa. And it would be easy to get it into a child, because you wouldn't be walking around with a big scary needle. Oh, no, here, Johnny, just have a banana. Come up with a name for Africa somewhere, some little village. I mean, come on, guys. We've seen time and time again, Zika was a big experiment. Of course, Ebola. We had things such as HIV. We saw, that was way back when. Notice how all of these things happened down in places such as Africa. And they came up with the first vaccines, and they sent in wasn't the Air Force, maybe it was the Army, the Center Force, maybe it was Special Forces, I don't know, for Ebola to help protect the people who were infected, and they set up the quarantine shelters and that. I mean, guys, this has been rolling out as an agenda for a very long time, and they have been testing it on the human population, problem, reaction, solution. And they have been bagging and tagging reactions to everything that occurs in that little play that they put together. You know, there's the whole physical component. There's the biological component. And then, of course, there's the psychological component. We've looked at all of those as to how they can better perform next time. Those are called tabletop exercises. And then they roll them out to real time. We have Georgie Porgy Church, who's been involved for a very long time in genetic engineering. He is one of the granddaddies of all this technology now that is spinning out of control. He is part of the CRISPR-Cas9 discovery that he worked on with a few other scientists between Harvard, MIT, and Berkeley. He is also Now, been working with not only places such as the Weiss Institute of Biologically Inspired Engineering that has garnered bunches of DARPA funding, but we found out yesterday that he has been working now with a lot of these spin out IPO companies. We've talked about those as well. Taxpayer funded dollars funneled through DARPA, sprinkle funded with defense initiatives out to universities and hospitals and smarty pants teams that are brought together. We looked at DARPA, that's how they do it. They give a project 5 years, usually is a time span. They'll pick smarty pants from all around different institutions and bring them together to brainstorm and come up with something that they never thought possible. They tend to focus on quote unquote moonshots. But, you know, they also target certain facilities maybe that have an expertise in one or another technology. Or thirdly, they've now opened it up to the commercial marketplace where we typically would be bidding on networks. Well, now we are bidding on how to engineer a humanized pig embryo, you know, and which, of course, is another project the Georgie Porgy Church is involved with. He's also, and this is out of Wikipedia, co-invented several uses for DNA. We found a project yesterday that he'd been working on, and that is to radically rewrite the bacterial genome of E. coli. And we'll find out E. coli is a very important bacteria. E. coli is also used in some of the CRISPR technologies. But he was a co-inventor of several uses for DNA. If you can even believe it, including detectors for dark matter. Ding! Now, I just saw a story yesterday, and I don't have it up here. I bet you if I looked for it really quick, but it's kind of off topic. There was just a big story. Very first time they think they have detected dark matter. I think that was this morning. Maybe I'll find that and I'll put that in the notes. They thought that was kind of strange. He has also co-invented anti-cancer nanobots. We've talked about those as well. Legions of nanobots to deliver cancer medication to tumors. And we read that story the other day where they are actually programmed flagellated bacteria that are loaded with either the chemo drug or whatever they're going to be delivering. Or we found out with Living Therapeutics, there was something else coming out of MIT funded with some Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation dollars, that they can produce bacteria that not only can target illness, but then can produce the drugs inside of you to target those illnesses. And that is using them as little biofactories. The Department of Energy has been tinkering with stuff of that nature for a very long time, utilizing bacteria to form other substances. And I don't know if you even knew this, but in a lot of our vitamins, you'll find that there are natural substances like, yeah, I've seen some super greens, where everything is, there's a very long list of nutrients in a good container of super greens. And if they're really good ones, you'll see that they're organic, non-GMO, which now we find out like non-GMO labeling with CRISPR doesn't make much of a difference because CRISPRing is not officially considered genetic modifications. They could put CRISPRed products in and still say that they are quote unquote organic and non-GMO. But you will find in like a good brand of super greens that they will be distilling the nutrients out of natural sources, such as plant materials, such as herbals and other things. They will have vitamin A's and B's and C's and D's and E's, all synthesized from naturally occurring things in our environments. But there are other vitamins out there. Typically, they would be the lower priced ones. And you will find out when you look up, you know, they'll say vitamin B or whatever. I don't know. I don't even know which ones. Can't think of any off the top of my head that I could spit anything out with a name. But any of the vitamins, just take a look. There are synthetic vitamins out there. And a lot of the time, I mean, yeah, they could be mixed up in a flask or a petri dish. But something I've been finding is that they've been using bacteria for a while now. And I don't know how they're even doing it. I haven't spent a lot of time looking into it, but I've known enough to go, oh, look at this. They have been utilizing bacteria to actually produce as a byproduct. Like, they could feed bacteria a certain incoming fuel, like a sugar, let's say. And that certain bacteria, as it eats that sugar, has a byproduct. It poops it out. And guess what that poop is? I don't know, some of your produced new vitamins in your vitamin bottle. So just look it up. Maybe we'll do some shows on that. Maybe I'll spend some time as part of this whole project looking at this insanity. We'll find some different bacterias and see what types of vitamins they can get them to poop out for us that we're already consuming. But I mean, it gets even way worse than that. I mean, that's still, I don't know, kind of in a sick kind of way. Eating bacteria poop is still kind of a quote-unquote natural, environmentally friendly, organic way to produce things. I don't think they poop out methane with your vitamins in the morning, but it still is kind of disturbing. Obviously, that isn't in the marketing slick. Or in the commercial, but just be aware that there are some really twisted things going on that we are just, on a daily basis, it's being slipped into the back end, and we have no idea. Georgie Church has also worked on strategies for digital data storage that is over a million times the density of conventional disk drives. I'm wondering if that isn't some of that DNA storage. I just saw a story this morning about Microsoft, and they really are moving ahead with this digital DNA storage. Microsoft, and I think might be one of the Allen Institutes. He's got a big brain project going on there as well. Paul Allen, one of the co-founders of Microsoft. But they are moving very far ahead with this digital DNA storage, soon to be in a storage device near you. Or maybe, like I've joked before, but maybe it's not joking, the big pulsating brain in the data center, somewhere ubiquitously in the cloud. And speaking of a big pulsating brain, we have the Brain Initiative. We've talked about that Brain Initiative, April 2013, Obama inked his executive order and put all balls out as an initiative to cure Nana's Alzheimer's and the PTSD for the soldiers coming back from Afghanistan. And of course, all of these neurological diseases that they are finding in our children. And now that puts me on a side note. I found an extremely interesting study the other day. I'm going to go there because this was beyond extremely interesting. And it really made me link a few puzzle pieces together with a little bit of proof that I would say was some of the most reputable that I have seen in a very long time. We have talked about vaccinations and the potential safety or lack thereof and the religious belief that vaccines are keeping us safe. Without question, don't question what's in them. Just put them into your newborn. Because they wouldn't be doing anything to us that was bad for us. No. Well, we find out that there are studies now. A couple of them have trickled out. One was looking at homeschooled children and the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated homeschooled children. They found that there was a huge increase in many different neurological problems in those homeschooled children who had been vaccinated. They figured this was a pretty level playing field because typically homeschool parents are going to be more cognizant of staying away from GMOs and video games and a lot of these other things that could be potential contributors to some of the debilitation that we are seeing, some of the neurological issues we are seeing in these generations that are coming up right now. But even more so, and this really caught me, this is a study out of the National Institute of Health itself, which is what caught my attention. This was dated April 28th of 2011. And it is titled, Persistent Behavioral Impairment. So persistent, right? Like continuing. Behavioral, obviously. Behavioral, you know, the way you act. Impairments, that means some sort of issue going on. And alterations. Now, alterations mean, you know, there was a change of brain dopamine system. Okay, so that's your actual dopamine system within your brain, that addiction button, after early postnatal, that's, you know, early after being born, administration of thimerosal, ding, the preservative in a lot of vaccines, even in trace amounts when they say it's gone, in rats. Guys, I'm going to read it again now without interrupting myself. Persistent behavioral impairments and alterations of brain dopamine system after early postnatal administration of thimerosal in rats. A neurotoxic organomercurial thimerosal, more affectionately known as thim, used for decades as a vaccine preservative, is a suspected factor in pathogenesis of some neurodevelopmental disorders. Ding. Previously, we have shown that neonatal administration of thim at doses equivalent to those used in infant vaccines or higher, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, in children, causes lasting alterations of the brain's opioid system in rats. It's your opioid system that produces dopamine. Guys, this is extremely bad. This explains to me why we have this generation of children that when you even give them the smallest dose of any type of stimulant, whether it be flashing lights like a video game, and they've shown that rats also react to flashing lights of slot machines. People also react to flashing lights of slot machines with gambling addiction, which is also that dopamine button in the opioid system. Opioids themselves interact on that dopamine button. Our kids are addicted to any type of instant gratification, which again is that dopamine button. High fructose corn syrup that's prevalent in our food. Again, that dopamine button. That high fructose corn syrup that is responsible for the cytochrome P450 enzyme suppression. That is the root of all of Western diseases, including obesity, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and all these other things. Guys, this is huge. This is huge because there have been multiple generations of children that had different mixes of vaccines. And I truly believe that though our vaccines back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, they've been doing some other weird things. They've been live versus killed and some other different manipulations, that SV40 and contaminations with other cell lines. They really didn't have a high-end quality control. So, you know, I had my father's cousin. It was his first cousin. Actually was a victim of polio from the polio vaccine. So I had firsthand family that Bobby, we hung out with, and his family when we were kids. We'd go camping down to some of the local camp areas around here. And we spent a lot of time with them when I was a kid. And I remember he really had a major issue. His one leg pretty much didn't work. He would drag it along behind him. But Bobby was great. He was kind of crazy. He was definitely part of our family, that's for sure. But, you know, I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, and that's the thing. But back then, they had one mixture, and of course, then there was a large prevalence of people who did come down with polio. Whoops, that was live polio. So I was one of the first generation that had the new and improved polio vaccine that was the killed polio. And I think we may have even started doing it orally at that point where it was a drip in your mouth So it was different. So as they've moved on, then they had probably another, the generation after me. And then, of course, there's the generation then of the children after them, which is where my daughter came in. It says, anyway, in this study, we investigated neonatal treatment with Thim, and that is the neurotoxic organomercurial thimerosal. With doses, there were a couple doses, 12, 240, 1440, and 3,000. I don't know what UG is, UG, HG per kilogram on behaviors, which are characteristically altered in autism, such as locomotor activity, anxiety, social interactions, spatial learning, and on the brain dopaminergic system in Worcester rats of both sexes. Male and female rats, which were exposed to the entire range, so there were those four different ranges of Thim, during their early postnatal life, manifested impairments of locomotor activity and impairment with increased anxiety and neophobia in the open field test. In animals of both sexes treated with the highest Thim dose, the frequency of pro-social interactions was reduced, so they became withdrawn, while the frequency of asocial, antisocial interactions was increased in males, so the males became more antisocial. But it was decreased in females, so they made the females more precocious. Neonatal Thim treatment did not significantly affect spatial learning and memory, so thank God, because those children treated with those levels of thimerosal can still play their video games. Thim-exposed rats also manifested reduced halopyrindol-induced catalepsy, which I, of course, looking at that cata, I thought, oh, is that a catatonic state? I looked it up, and sure it is, being kind of almost locked in a position, not moving. And I thought, well, that's kind of funny, because Johnny typically has that when he plays video games. So he has less. He has a reduced catalepsy, accompanied by a marked decline in the density of striatal D2 receptors measured by an immunohistochemical staining suggesting alterations to the brain's dopaminergic system. Males were more sensitive than females to some neurodisruptive, neurotoxic actions of Thim. So males tend to be more susceptible to damage. And this data shows that early postnatal Thim administration causes lasting neurobiological impairment and neurochemical alterations in the brain dependent on the dose and the sex. If similar changes occur in thimerosal exposed children, they could contribute to neurodevelopmental disorders. So what do you think of them apples? I couldn't even believe this is published on the National Institute of Health website. And it outlines for years, and when I actually went into the full study, it had talked about them doing research with the amounts that were in the up until 2008 dosage of vaccinations. I guess in 2000, or maybe it was 2006. In the 2006 or two, no, it was 2008. They then changed the vaccine schedule and added all kinds of them. And I guess there's like, I don't remember talking to April, there were like 57 or 125 new vaccines waiting in the wings to come out. So guys, put on a seatbelt. This really is doing damage to our children. Oh, here was, maybe this was another study out of 2015. Maybe this is the one I looked at. Examination of the safety of pediatric vaccine schedules in a non-human primate model. Assessments of neurodevelopmental learning and social behavior. I mean, how are they allowing this to happen? And this is, I mean, that was just the tip of the iceberg when we were looking at vaccines. But don't worry about it. I went on a tangent to prove something to you because vaccines are going to go by the wayside. Problem, reaction, solution. You know what, guys? We were right all along. They're going to agree with us. But they're going to tell us that they have a more efficient way to fix this. We also found that some of the vaccines are shedding the virus that they are supposed to protect against. So it is not the unvaccinated that are dangerous to the vaccinated. It turns out, whoops, we were wrong on that again. It is the vaccinated that are dangerous to the unvaccinated because the vaccinated are shedding for a week or two on some viruses that they had been vaccinated for. Like, I think bird flu was one of them. Measles is another one. They shed for a few weeks the actual virus, and it could potentially be infectious in the environment around them and to those who come into contact with them. But don't worry about that, because DARPA wanted to create the shape-shifting immune system, and they are finding ways, fun projects that will be able to go in and manipulate on the fly in defense of pathogens, known or unknown, to be able to thwart against, you know, any pandemic, quote unquote. We've seen a few. Okay, talked about a little earlier. Let's go to Africa with troops. But also against some sort of maybe bioterror weapon. Maybe even a genetic weapon. Maybe some rogue agent. Or superpower that is emerging with some of these brand new disruptive technologies. The war is on, people. They are not only warring for your body. And to be able to manipulate and control at the smallest level of biology. But they also want to surveil it all. And of course, they're going to have to surveil the main pulsating control mechanism of that biology that makes up you. And that would be your brain. And that's where this brain initiative fits into this puzzle. They have been, since 2013, putting lots of money and resources and institutions and smarty pants all to the task of deconstructing the brain and how all of their complex neurological, chemical, electrical signaling all works together in harmony to produce what we call a living being. Well, you didn't have to think too hard to figure that Georgie Porgy Church is also involved in the Brain Initiative. He was a part of a team of six who in 2012 put out a scientific commentary and proposed a brain activity map, later named the Brain Initiative, the acronym BRAIN standing for Brain Research Through Advanced Innovative Neurotechnologies. They outlined specific experimental techniques that might be used to achieve what they termed a functional connectome. So we have the microbiome, which is in your gut, and the connectome, which is in your brain, and it's connected by the enteric nervous system, which is that vagus nerve that DARPA has discovered they can, with the ElectRx program, experiment with zippity-zapping that vagus nerve to be able to manipulate biological and neurological function. as well as new technologies that will have to be developed in the course of this project. We found out that they have all kinds of new technologies that are coming, like EEGs in every pot, in every home, in every school, and in every soldier's helmet, to be able to monitor through the National Neurological Surveillance System, included in Section 399S of the 21st Century Cures Act, passed in December 2016. If anybody hasn't read that entire thing yet, I highly suggest that you do. They are also working on developing wireless, minimally invasive methods, ding, it's also called that in the 21st Century Cures Act, to detect and manipulate ding-a-ling-a-ling neuronal activity, utilizing either microelectronics like DARPA brain implants or synthetic biology like the living therapeutics they want to put in your gut. One such proposed method, which is enzymatically produced DNA, would serve as a ticker tape recorder of neuronal activity. Well, that's scary. So we had the biological reporters of the gut that could send back messages through your poop in pretty colors. And now we're going to have the ticker tape recorder produced with enzymatically produced DNA to record your neuronal activity. I don't exactly know what that is. It's the first I've heard of that one. But maybe it has something to do with the radically rewritten bacterial genome. And I thought we had read something about enzymes somewhere in here where they were using it to produce some sort of effect. I don't know. This is so complicated. Guys, I need to get a degree in biotechnology. But we found out, I was just looking really quick at the article to see if there was anything about enzymes in here. The Georgia Porgy Church, in August 2016, was part of an experiment that has radically rewritten the E. coli bacterial genome. And to be able to do that, they've messed around with lots of technologies, including CRISPR, another technology that he was partial creator of, that allows them to zip and unzip different DNA structures in cells and replace them with something of their making. They have since been tinkering with CRISPRing the first humans to be able to edit out disease eventually. And that was going to be happening at the Penn U facility. And that was supposed to happen at the end of last year. I haven't seen much on that, so I don't know if that ever happened. But we find out that China actually were the first to CRISPR human embryos. China is ahead of us in a lot of these technologies. Well, we ended the show yesterday with a story out of Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, GenEngNews.com, titled CRISPR Directs Genome Evolution. We know Georgia Porgy Church loves directing evolution of probiotic bacteria. Ding! So not only are they messing around with quote-unquote new probiotics, the Bacillus family of spore-forming bacteria that they can reseed your gut with, that is showing up in lots of commercial products with a little notation that says, now, with probiotics, it helps products sell, people. Wink. To make you think that things such as Cheetos, which Cheetos don't have them, but they may someday, things such as Cheetos might be healthy. Well, now it isn't just spore bacteria being utilized as probiotics that can potentially become contagious. Oh, no, no. It is also the genomic evolution with self-direction using CRISPR of probiotic bacteria. Not only is it E. coli, and yes, they do have E. coli in your gut, But are there genome editing tools running around in that yogurt that you are eating? Don't drop your spoon and start scraping your tongue in a panic just yet, because these proteins are a natural part of the bacteria that ferment milk into that creamy product that so many of us enjoy on a daily basis. But can these editing proteins be utilized, i.e. CRISPRed, to identify core and essential genomic regions, or even eliminate non-essential regions, guiding us to greater understanding of bacterial evolution? Well, results from a newly published study hope to shed light on the diverse function of the bacterial genome. A research team from North Carolina State University has harnessed the precision, scalpel-like power of the CRISPR-Cas9 system to determine if four predicted genomic island sequences could be deleted from the yogurt starter culture bacterium, Streptococcus thermophiles. In particular, one of the regions included the milk adaption area that is essential for yogurt production. We wanted to screen using CRISPR scalpel areas naturally prone to extinction in the S. thermophilus, explained Rudolf Berengau, PhD, Associate Professor of Food Science and Senior Author on the current study. This is a win-win process, he says, because the screening can be harnessed to target any region of the genome, and the experiment will tell you whether the region is expendable or not. The findings from the study were published recently in a PNAS article entitled CRISPR-based screening of genomic island excision events in bacteria. The investigators were able to engineer the CRISPR-Cas9 system, and remember, it's been democratized, to eliminate the four genomic regions, which the team labeled as mobile genetic elements, and then observed some interesting results. Once that region was gone, the bacteria could no longer preserve milk, yet the cells were still alive. That result showed that this area was expendable and not essential to bacterial survival when not growing in milk. Now, guys, don't think that, you know, tinkering with bacteria doesn't at some point in the future translate to tinkering with the human genome. We know they're already doing that. The creation of the synthetic human genome is a project that is already being tossed around in scary back rooms with very large numbers of smarty pants, all at least tossing out ideas. There was a new meeting just recently in New York City a few weeks ago about this whole project. And guys, you know, when they start getting databases of genomic sequencing of millions of people, the All of Us program, step right up, because the head of Precision Medicine Initiative has said that they want to now roll out precision medicine to all of America. That means your genome sequencing will be required. They will be able to take some of these big pulsating brains in a data center somewhere called a supercomputer that is growing in its level of experience and understanding in the medical field. They'll be able to turn its artificial intelligence to the large human genomics project database to start looking at what potential sequences are disease causers, what potential sequences are mutations, what those sequences actually do, whether or not it's a benefit or a deficit to have these genome sequences, what happens when they delete these genome sequences or add them to someone else's sequence, to, in the end, produce the perfect human genome. Where have we heard that similar story before? The new and improved human race. And those of you who have genome sequences that might be undesirable and traits that maybe will make you a criminal or someone who doesn't like to follow directions, there should be no reason for you to reproduce or your germline. You will be part of the incineration project. We will need to get rid of you as a biohazard. Guys, I mean, I literally see where this is going. There is no doubt about it. And yeah, I mean, genomic technology is amazing to be able to discover all of the chinks in the human armor and the disease causers and how to cure them is wonderful. We will use that as our marketing push to get you all to step right up because we have a cure for anything that ails you now. And it won't even hurt a bit. Just eat this little banana. Take your probiotic. That's all it's going to be. Except that, just know that by becoming a part of the system, you are setting up yourself and the future of your genetic line for potentially being deemed as obsolete. It's coming. This is it. This is what we should be paying attention to. This is what's happening under the covers every single day in all these labs sprinkled all around the globe. And it is the new arms race. You know, for everything that's a cure, it's also a kill. I said that the other day. They are developing this with DARPA dollars to, yeah, protect us from any bioterror, quote unquote, or genomic terror weapon or, you know, different energy weapons that might be able to just buzz with high energy beams and unzip our DNA. Whoops, wait, didn't we find out that some of that millimeter wave at Los Alamos, a scientist had discovered that within a certain frequency range, there's a harmonic in the millimeter wave spectrum. And when it was applied to cells, miraculously unzipped the DNA. You know, that is something that they will be looking at as a potential weapon of the future that could be considered a disintegration ray. So we better come up with a way to protect against it, wink. Also, how to reproduce it, guys. This is how this money is spent. So yeah, how amazing. We found a way to splice and dice a simple bacteria that's in your yogurt, and we'll be able to figure out how to make it quote-unquote healthier for you and how to insert different features and functionalities to make it even more advantageous for the system. It can be a cure-all. Here, I'm going to give you your prescription for a little tube of yogurt. Eat this twice a day. It even tastes like cherry or pineapple or blueberry. Take your pick. But in the end, it's actually going to be genetically modifying you, potentially in the future. There is a new CRISPR pill that makes bacteria destroy its own DNA. Oh, yes, they have already been experimenting. Who would have thunk it? April 17th, 2017. An innovative study at the University of Wisconsin-Madison could soon put an end to drug-resistant bacteria by using an edible version of CRISPR. Oh, really? Yes, an edible version of CRISPR. This probiotic could target specific bacteria, making it more effective than your currently ineffective antibiotics against what? Oh, superbugs. And wait, didn't Obama have an executive order against antibiotic-resistant bacteria? Oh, he did, didn't he? Yes, I did a whole bunch of shows on it back in 2015, titled, this is a press release, March 27th, 2015, Obama Administration Releases National Action Plan to Combat Antibiotic-Resistant Bacteria. Today, March 27, 2015, the White House released a comprehensive plan that identifies critical actions to be taken by key federal departments and agencies to combat the rise of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. The National Action Plan for Combating Antibiotic-Resistant Bacteria, which was developed by an interagency task force for combating antibiotic-resistant bacteria, in response to Executive Order 13676, titled Combating Antibiotic-Resistant Bacteria, outlines the steps for implementing the, quote, National Strategy on Combating Antibiotic-Resistant Bacteria and Addressing the Policy Recommendations of the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology to Combat Antibiotic-Resistant Bacteria. Can they say that 37 more times? The action plan is organized around five goals for collaborative action by the U.S. government in partnership with foreign governments. And remember, there was also another executive order that pretty much deemed us the global lead on combating disease. Yes, yes, yes. We will be the pioneers with vaccines to come to a country near you. And don't worry about it. It'll taste like strawberries and be in a little edible tube, soon to be a banana. But it is the U.S. government in partnership with foreign governments, individuals, probably won't be India, by the way, India got pissed, and organizations aiming to strengthen healthcare, public health, veterinary medicine, and yes, they begin all of this testing in animals, remember, wink. Agriculture, oh yes, all the GMO companies are totally back-ended involved. This has been something that they were the progenitors of, really kind of spearheading. Genetic modification wasn't just about plants. We thought it was, but no, it wasn't. We found a long time ago that Monsanto had already had on their cut sheet for the year, maybe it was 2014 or 15, to start utilizing RNAi technology, that's RNA interference, in plant models to flip switches, turn things on and off, which happened to then roll out as the same technology that they started tinkering with to create non-genetically modified but tinkered with cell lines in humans to fight disease. So it's going to be the U.S. government in partnership with foreign governments. And this is, by the way, in a press release from the White House. U.S. government in partnership with foreign governments, individuals, organizations aiming to strengthen healthcare, public health, veterinary medicine, agriculture, food safety, ding, FDA that was put out of the way with the 21st Century Cures Act, as well as research and manufacturing. And this would be using bacteria as biofactories, I could guarantee you that. Aggressive action will move the nation toward major reductions in the incident of urgent and serious drug-resistant threats. This is all in the name of national security. It'll all fall under those emergency powers. If you don't want to take your newfangled yogurt there, Johnny, we're going to make you. These goals are as follows. To slow the emergent resistant bacteria and to prevent the spread of resistant infections, to strengthen the national One Health surveillance efforts to combat resistance. So apparently there is a surveillance system to advance the development and use of rapid and innovative diagnostic testing for identification and characteristics of resistant bacteria. We found out Georgia Porgy Church wanted to be a part of that. And DARPA was funding some rapid identification system through a little DNA reader. Handheld. also to accelerate basic and applied research and development for new antibiotics, other therapeutics, and vaccines. Yes, now they will be edible and probiotics, as well as improving the international collaboration, like in some of our offshore med science gone mad facilities, for antibiotic resistance prevention, surveillance, control, and research and development. So there you have it, people. Right out of the horse's mouth, March of 2015, it was all balls out by executive order to find ways to combat antibiotic-resistant bacteria. As antibiotic resistance continues to grow, scientists are desperately trying to figure out how to best fight bacterium like Colostro difficile, which can cause the fatal infection in hospital and nursing homes. Of course, people who took antibiotics killed all their good bacteria and had the bad C. difficile move in. C. difficile is also the one that we had read about. Can your gut bacteria cause obesity? And can obesity be contagious? We found out that in some of the studies that they had done on C. difficile, which happens to be a spore bacteria, they found that potentially looking at family members, that it maybe wasn't a genetic predisposition for infection, that maybe it was being spread among family members. I don't know. Camille and I actually talked about that the one day. She brought up some questions as to the study or research itself. I would tend to agree with her, but on the other hand, if you look at things such as Bacillus bacteria, which is spore-based, and it forms a spore to reproduce, and we know that in the animal and plant and fungi kingdom, fungi, when it produces a spore, spores can become airborne, and you can breathe in spores, and they will go dormant, just like Bacillus do, in inhospitable environments until they get someplace where they like to grow. And that typically would be dark, warm, and moist. So it is at least not fantasy to think that potentially a spore-based bacteria could be transmissible when it is dried, dormant, and airborne. Well, they were looking again at C. difficile because it potentially can be and has been ranked by the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention as a top drug-resistant threat in the future. Several means are being explored to counter this pandemic, as the story calls it. Yeah, so here comes a new one, guys. C. difficile, uncontrollable shits as the next pandemic. But don't worry about that, Johnny, because we have research being funded from a project through the National Institute of Health. The proposed solution uses CRISPR, the world's first, most precise, and efficient gene editing technology currently available. Sounds like a marketing shtick there in that sentence. That's the elevator pitch. Jan-Peter von Pilkersen, a food scientist from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, is creating a probiotic cocktail that patients can swallow as a liquid or a pill. This cocktail of bacteria will include a bacteriophage, or a phage for short. That's something that we need to look into in detail because phages, I think, are a key. A phage, which is a virus that actually can infect the bacteria. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the same sort of technology that DARPA is using in their Insect Allies program. They are infecting a bacteria with a phage. Then they are infecting the insects. Then they are using the insects to go after the plants. And as they're eating the plants, their spittle infects the plants. That bacteria then spreads into the plant with the viral bacteriophage that then goes in and genetically modifies the live plants real time. I think they're talking about doing that very same thing to genetically modify humans to be resistant to something like C. difficile. This cocktail of bacteria, which will include a bacteriophage, which is a virus that infects bacteria, capable of carrying a customized false CRISPR message to C. difficile. This message would cause the C. difficile to unzip and make lethal cuts to its own DNA, in essence, killing itself. Now, guys, think about this. So they know how to target because they've discovered what's necessary and what's not to C. difficile. They can now program a bacteria to go into the C. difficile and cut out the stuff that is necessary for life, causing it to die. What happens when they figure out which gene sequences are necessary for humans and they want to, assassinate someone or take them out? Or maybe, you know what, Johnny, you're costing the system too much. It is time for you to quietly go to sleep. Here, eat your berry yogurt. We'll take care of you. That's absolutely 100% possible. And what if it were just a bioterror attack on the food supply that was taken, you know, somebody in a factory somewhere had a couple tainted bottles of your morning probiotic cocktail? Remember, it happened with Tylenol. Remember all that? The whole Tylenol scare, that was pretty scary. That was when they first started putting those little plastic necks around the bottles. But anyway, currently this probiotic is in its early stages, so few, and it is yet to be tested on animals. But luckily, similar studies have proven the effectiveness of this bacteriophage-delivered CRISPR in killing bacteria. However, researchers still have a few concerns. Yeah, like off-target effects of CRISPR. They didn't mention that one. The downside of antibiotics is that they are a sledgehammer that depletes and destroys the gut of the microbial community. Well, hey, then make sure you do it with one that is a natural resident of the human gut, right? CRISPR is ideal for this because such drugs need to be very specific. They could kill a specific species of germ while leaving all your good gut bacteria untouched. In a contract, regular antibiotics kill off good bacteria, leading to resistance. But if proven successful, CRISPR could become not only the world's most effective gene editing tool, but also kill bacteria, be the best bacteria-killing technology available. And it gives us hope, or not. All right, keep it seriously.
Why?